Congressman Don Manzullo in studio with us here. Right up until the top of the hour, we'll get to your phone calls in just a second. Hang on the line, please. But wanted to get to this America Speaking Out tour that you've had a couple of events already and a couple more scheduled for next week, too.
We've gone through half a dozen of these. We show up in different communities. We're there for a maximum of an hour and a half. I speak for about 5 minutes, open it up. To the people there and say, what's your suggestion to change America, to get us back to work? And we write them on a big sheet. We had about 20 suggestions on there, and then we turn those sheets into our Republican conference, and they work on those, and they're going to come up with something similar to Contract with America. But it's some really, really good suggestions that are coming from the people, which is what this country is about.
Sure. Wednesday, August 18th, one in Belvedere, from 1 to 2:30 at Belvedere City Hall Council Chambers. And then on Monday, August 23rd, Loves Park, 2:30 to 4 at the North Suburban Library in Loves Park. Roscoe, that same day, the 23rd, 6 to 7:30 at North Suburban Library in Roscoe. And then August 24th, 3 to 4:30 here in Rockford at the East Branch of the Rockford Public Library. Byron on the 24th as well, 7 to 8:30 at Byron City Hall Community Room in Byron.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to the phone calls, Dan Roskinkowski passed away yesterday.
Yes, yes.
And this was not speaking ill of him, but there was a clip that CBS News had posted from 1989. There was some kind of health care debate happening at that point. That's a little too far in the past for me to remember, but there was a town hall that Roskinkowski held. Bunch of people were angry.
And they pounded on his car.
On his car, and they were interviewing Roskinkowski as he was trying to distract the people so the car could get away. And Roskinkowski says the same thing that you hear today from Democrat members of Congress, which is the people don't know. The people don't know what's good for them. If they just knew more about the bill, they'd like it. And it's, you know, we've got to tell them. It's not, you know, they just don't know what we're trying to do for America. And it's from 1989 to 2010, and
American
it's the same
people
stuff.
Are very smart. When we held those town hall meetings last summer dealing with health care, there are a lot of people who really never had the opportunity to go to college that downloaded that 1,180-page bill, that read it, digested it, and understood it. And they showed up at the town hall meetings. That really set the tenor across the country. I think that's what more than anything drove home the point that Americans could be more engaged than they were back then. Unfortunately, Congress really ignored the American people when it came to passing that health care bill. And now we're seeing the nightmares that are coming as a result of that. Doctors that are retiring earlier. Mm-hmm. Congressional Research Service, which does the research for members of Congress, said that it's impossible to calculate the number of boards and commissions and offices that will be set up.
They can't do it, and it's impossible.
Because, I mean, how can you run a government when you don't know what to expect out of it, except more?
And how can you estimate costs like the CBO you don't know how many organizations, how many people are going to be employed by them? There's no way to calculate what you're going to spend on it.
That's right.
9:40 here on Straight Talk on WROK. We'll head to the phone lines here. We're going to try to get to as many people as possible, so we'll ask if you can ask your question and then, if possible, take the answer off the air. We'll try to get to as many as possible here before the top of the hour. Start at the top. Peter's been holding on the longest. Peter, good morning. You're on Straight Talk with Congressman Don Manzullo. Good morning.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Peter.
I was wondering if you could comment on the productivity of the heavy use of the filibuster in Congress.
The filibuster is used in the Senate only. And usually members of the House of Representatives say that the Senate is not productive at all. But that's because we see in the House that we're the people's house. But the with cloture, with 60 votes, you can cut off the filibuster, then move on to have a final vote on the issue. That's a Senate rule. Uh-huh. It's not in the Constitution, and they choose to live by that rule.
Because I was concerned, it seemed like always when something came up, there was always a filibuster happening in the Senate.
But at times a filibuster is good because sometimes it gives the opportunity to cool the jets in the Senate, give people an opportunity to take another look at the piece of legislation and say, you know what, this legislation is not perfect, not that any is, and then they'll sit down and redraft the legislation and the filibuster ends.
Thanks for the phone
call. I was curious. Thank you.
Thank you for the phone call, Peter.
Good question.
That's kind of how it was set up. I mean, a long time ago, obviously. The Senate was more of a deliberative body where you take the time, and that's one of the reasons why the filibuster is allowed there. One of the reasons that's why the Senate rules.
But until the 17th Amendment, it was the state legislatures that appointed the members of the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, that's when you... the era of big government began, because if a state legislature appoints a senator, do you think that senator is going to vote for an unfunded mandate for a state?
Hmm. Senators at that point were a little more receptive to ideas.
Well,
they
were accountable directly to the states.
Right, right.
And the states exchanged their sovereignty from the Articles of Confederation to the Constitution, knowing full well that they would control the Senate. That's history now.
398-WROK, 398-9765 with Congressman Don Manzullo. Peggy is up next. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning.
Good morning, Peggy.
Hi, Don. Peggy here, and I just wanted to invite your listeners that Don has been gracious enough to spend some social time with the Robert Brokish campaign at Michael's on August 21st from 1 to 4. And fans of Don can come out and spend some social time with him and continue to ask him some questions. And we encourage everyone to come. We really appreciate Don taking his time.
Thank you, Peggy.
And then is there somewhere online if people want more information, Peggy, about the event?
Yeah, it could either be voterobertbrokish.com, or can I give you a quick phone number?
Sure.
815-312-7916.
Sounds good. Thank you for the phone call, Peggy. Appreciate it. 398-WROK, Straight Talk with Congressman Don Manzullo. Taking your phone calls as much as possible up to the top of the hour here. Stuart, up next on the phone lines on WROK. You're with Congressman Manzullo. Stuart.
Hi, Congressman.
Hi, Stuart.
Stuart Davies from Crystal Lake.
Hi, Stuart.
We've met a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I want to find out how come the fees to get things like passports and stuff is so high.
Passport fees just went up again.
Yeah, they went up. They went up. It's based upon a so-called user fee, and
yeah,
they're very. What is it, about $130 now for a passport?
Yeah, they were $100 before, and there's no way they can say that that it costs $100 to process a passport.
No, it doesn't. The one of the reasons it went up, we got
in
a big
fight. The government's out of money.
Well, yes.
You know, I think it's a crime the way they do user fees are so high that they're putting the money in something else.
Well, supposedly that money is to stay within the department itself, but when Congress, over my objection, said that if you're an American and you go to Canada and you can't return to this country without a passport, that not only hurt cross-border relations, but it greatly increased the cost. I mean, a family of four could blow now almost $600,
mm-hmm,
just across the border into Canada, and they're not going to do that.
How are you going to do, or what are you going to do to fix this kind of problem so that you so-called user fees are only, you know, equal to the actual funds spent out?
Well, we have, Stuart, we have the same problem over at the Bureau of Patents. I'm involved now in my fourth patent fight that keeps on trying to increase the cost of patents and applications and claims by little guys, because most inventions are by little guys. And
now, mine was 1999, so I got away kind of cheap.
Right, but what's happened is, and here, the issuance of a patent is a constitutional obligation on the part of the government, so you ask whether or not people should be paying for it in the first place. So any attempt I have to knock down those fees, especially because I was former chairman of the Small Business Committee, I take that opportunity to do so.
Hey, Stuart, thanks for the phone call. Stuart. Appreciate it. I'm going to try to squeeze as many in as possible here before the top of the hour. Carl's up next. Good morning, Carl. You're on Straight Talk with the Congressman.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, Carl. How are you?
I'm well. I hope everyone, your whole family is too.
They're fine.
Listen, Don, I am very disappointed many, many times when I listen to TV and Democrats' charges of how heartless and how short-sighted Republicans are. And I'm disappointed in this respect, that I don't feel the grit and the response that should be given to a lot of the nonsense that comes out of the mouths of these liberals. I really am disappointed over and over. But here's my suggestion, by the way. I understand that you guys, the Republicans, are going to come up with something like the...
Contract with America.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, that's great. That's a good idea. But let me make a suggestion that you get... a lot of the people that are going to hold that contract up and defend it, don't always impress me. Let me make a suggestion that Steele and the Republican Party get Mitch Daniel, Christie, Jingle, and I can't think of the guy's name from Utah, former governor. But anyway, you get people of that caliber to hold that contract up and says it can be done. It can be done. Anyway, that's my suggestion.
Appreciate that, Carl. It's good.
Thanks for
good
the phone point. Call, Carl. 398-WROK, 398-9765. It's 948. We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back. Continue with your phone calls and Congressman Don Manzullo here on WROK. Congressman Don Manzullo in studio here to the top of the hour, trying to squeeze in as many of your phone calls here as possible. Chris is on the phone line next. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
My call. Good morning, Don. Hey, last week I heard the president get on the TV and say, hey, the Republicans have not come up with one single solitary idea of what to do with our country. Now, there are always consequences for every action that is taken. For the last several decades, we've been shipping manufacturing over to China and Japan and different countries because of the fact that we are, in my opinion, we are taxed too high, and the regulations that are put in front of us for insurance, some of those are set by the state of Illinois, correct?
Well, if you're talking about impediments to exports, it's high taxes, it's regulation, it's China manipulating the currency, it's our export controls, any number of things.
The union?
Pardon?
I said the unions have a lot, when you keep on taking money from the taxpayers and the unions, and in my opinion, our government hasn't done their job, because when you turn around and you say, hey, I can buy this widget from this company, and the government's buying it, and the federal government's buying it, and they're going to pay $50 for the widget when we know the widget only costs $1. But those people have contracts. There's contracts that have been made that benefit people that get paid way too much in this country for what they produce.
Okay.
When you put all those things together, that's why we have the problems that we have financially in this country.
It's because we have to concentrate on job creation, not on bailout after bailout. We have to manufacture our way out of this recession, not try to pay our way out.
Hey, Chris, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Good ideas.
952 here on WROK. Quickly, we were talking off the air yesterday. The president signed a manufacturing bill, which, in a nutshell, removes...
If you're involved in manufacturing and you have to import an item that's not available in the United States, there shouldn't be a tariff on it in the first place. Every year we pass a bill like this, and mostly it passes by voice vote. So the bill does help. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it.
Yeah, removing tariffs from... If you need something... material to make your product from overseas,
and the product and the material is not made here locally,
right? And then there's a tariff on it, which the bill is trying to
right. So it wipes the tariff off, mm-hmm. Right?
Annie is up next here. Annie, good morning. You're on Straight Talk with the Congressman.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Annie. How are you?
Man,
you doing okay?
Doing fine.
Good.
I do have a little problem.
What do you got, Annie?
Well, my bottom mouth is infected to a life threatening point.
No.
But the VA won't even talk to me.
Okay, Annie, you are a World War II veteran. If you would, have you called our office at all on this? Have you talked to Kathy?
No, I have not.
Okay.
No, I'm not a World War II veteran. No, I'm not quite that old.
Okay.
But I did serve our country honorably.
Okay, Annie, if you would do this, Kathy there is at 394-1231.
Okay.
Are you up on email?
Yes.
Okay. If you would send her a note, in fact, I'll tell you what. Let me call you off the air.
Okay.
And if, can you get Annie's number?
Annie, we'll put you on hold right here. Tom will get your number. We'll get that to the.
And then I'll call you as soon as we get off the air. How's that, Annie?
That's
great. We'll start
to
work.
You are so wonderful.
Well, you know you're wonderful, Annie.
Well, I'll tell you what. Do they know why I call you Mr. Battleship Man?
Tell them, Annie.
Well, we were going to give away a battleship to another country, and you stepped up and said, why are we giving it away? Let's charge them. And by God, you won, didn't you?
Well, we changed the law. That was in my first term of Congress. That saves taxpayers $300 million to $500 million a year.
Hey,
thanks, Annie. Bless
Annie, hold
you.
On. Tom will get your number. We'll get that to the congressman.
And I'll call you right back as soon as I get off the air.
Got about 30 seconds left here, Congressman. Anything you want to add before
I just
sign off?
I just want to say how, well, first of all, what an honor it is to represent the people of this congressional district, how astute the people are, even people who disagree with me, extraordinarily kind. And that means so much to me. You can sit down, you can discuss the issues, and a lot of members of Congress really have a problem with, that. But that's what America's about. You disagree, but you disagree in a kind manner.
956, so, Congressman, thank you so much. We'll talk again soon. Michael Coolidge up next.